Hi, everyone. Dan Cassidy here. Welcome back to Top of the Morning on the UBS Market Moves podcast channel. Today, I am joined in the 1285 podcast studio in New York by the head of equities for the Americas from the UBS Chief Investment Office, David Lefkowitz. As you, our listeners, know, we have been producing the CIO Equity Pulse. This is our fourth episode now, David, which ties into the UBS Houseview publication suite. You're joining us to talk about the equities updates for the upcoming issue in August. So it's great to have you here at the table, our first studio appearance together. Yeah. So, David, welcome to the new podcast studio.
Thank you. Yeah, it's great. It's great to be here in person. Looking forward to the conversation, Dan.
So let's dive right into it, David. Over the last few months, you've been highlighting the three bull market drivers. They are solid growth, supportive Fed, and AI adoption. So as a starting point, David, it might be helpful for our listeners to hear you provide an update on each of these items, given that earnings season has just kicked off as well. Let's begin with that.
Perfect. I think that's a great place to start. And just to get to the punchline, I mean, there's really no major change in our thinking. Just think the bull market is still intact. Think we will see higher stock prices over time. But yeah, let's talk about the growth environment, because as you point out, we are just at the early stages of second quarter earnings season, and the story is really good. I mean, so, you know, we think we're going to see 28% earnings growth for the S&P 500 this year. I'm sorry, this quarter. And that's going to be the fastest in more than 4 years. And we're expecting sort of a normal level of earnings beats. And what I would really say is, I mean, that 28% is actually, you know, very high, right? And earnings are really firing on all cylinders. So let's talk about each of those cylinders a little bit. I mean, you've got, clearly you have AI, right? And where that's showing up on the earnings is really in semiconductors. And semiconductors are accounting for about 40% of the growth that we're expecting in the quarter. So yeah, really, you know, really strong, and I would say kind of supercharging the numbers. But we're also seeing broader participation. So manufacturing and cyclical sectors are also starting to contribute, and that's a sort of a leg of the stool that we haven't had on earnings, and that's starting to come through. And just to underscore this, what's happening in manufacturing, we're actually seen job creation resume in manufacturing this year. And that's a big change. The last 3 years, that we manufacturing sector had been shedding jobs. So I think that just gives people a sense of like, yeah, things are getting better in the manufacturing area. And that's now showing up in earnings as well. And then look, the consumer continues to be pretty solid. And that's because the labor market has been has been fine. So yeah, ultimately think we're going to see a good set of numbers. Now, you know, we're talking here first week of earnings season. The banks have been the ones that are, you know, that we've heard from so far. And I would say so far, it's just been confirmation of our expectations. They've been solid. Consumer spending has accelerated, actually. Charge-offs lower. Loan growth has been actually really good. And, you know, the investment banking business is really strong. I mean, both from investment banking, M&As, and advisory businesses, as well as capital markets. So it's a really robust picture for earnings, and that's clearly a key positive driver for equities.
David, as you pointed out, Q2 earnings off to a strong start. We've been hearing from some of the big banks, the financial names. Haven't yet received many results from the tech companies, but tell us about your current thinking on AI.
I think it's helpful to take a step back a little bit when we think about this whole AI story. And I would say the big picture on AI is that really since the launch of ChatGPT nearly 4 years ago, there's just been a very substantial supply-demand imbalance in AI infrastructure, right? There's been a lot more demand for the chips, the equipment, I mean, it's especially chips, but, you know, it's the power. I mean, there's a whole laundry list of components that go into building out the AI infrastructure. And in general, there's just been the supply has not been able to keep up with the demand. And I think that's going to continue to be the case. So what gives us confidence here is that, you know, look at all the capital that's being raised by these mega companies, both in the private markets and increasingly the public markets, all of that is just going to get recycled into more spending on AI infrastructure. And so the other thing I would also point out is that we watch very closely just any indications of supply demand in AI infrastructure, GPU rental prices. So the prices to rent the semiconductors that run AI and train AI, those continue to go up. And that's, I think, the best indication that we remain in a very supply constrained environment. And it's hard to bring on new supply very quickly across a lot of these different segments. So I think we're going to see continued supportive trends from the AI complex. There has been a lot of volatility in semiconductors, especially. Right. I think a lot of that is due to positioning. Let's not forget, they had a huge run in earlier in the year. I mean, just like, sort of epic, to some extent. I mean, records. So we're seeing some digestion there, but don't think there's really been any change in terms of the fundamentals and the demand outlook. So continue to think AI will be supportive for earnings and for the market overall.
And not to get off the beaten path, but just to clarify the concerns earlier in the year about a potential AI bubble, drawing comparisons to the 2000.com bubble, hasn't materialized. You haven't seen signs of that.
That is sort of a key risk, right, in terms of will this boom turn into a bust? And I would say the short answer is we don't think it's going to it's happening now. I mean, again, just pointing out the fact that there still is very clear shortage of some of these key components and demand continues to outstrip supply. I would get a lot more concerned if, say, the Fed was really moving to start hike interest rates or there were really clear – and that would – because that would shut off or certainly impair companies' ability to raise external capital, which is financing a lot of the demand. We don't think that's likely in the cards. Or if we see just supply demand getting into better balance, whether it be less demand, maybe there's algorithmic improvements that we don't need as many chips as we thought, or there's less usage for some reason of the AI models. But that's the key in my mind is supply demand on AI infrastructure. And right now, we're still in a shortage situation.
You brought up the Fed. It's interesting. Commentary from Fed officials seems more hawkish since Fed Chairman Kevin Warsh took his seat.
Yeah, I would agree. It's definitely been a notable change. And it's not just Kevin Warsh. I would say there's been other Fed officials that have come out and been a bit more hawkish. So when getting back to your original question, Dan, about sort of the three legs of the stool of this bull market – we talked about growth. We talked about AI. I think things have shifted a little bit on the Fed. What caught my attention earlier this week, Governor Waller, who's a governor on the board, he tends to be a bit of a leading indicator about what the Fed is thinking in terms of their next policy moves. And he had a pretty hawkish set of remarks earlier this week. Now, that was before the inflation print that we got, right, which was cooler than expected. So that was good. But he was very clear. He basically said that if inflation doesn't improve, rate hikes are looking more likely. And so that's where we are, right? So I think the good news is inflation's improving. We got that pretty soft inflation report earlier this week. And we think the inflation data should continue to improve. The tariff impact is fading. That came through in the inflation data. We got some assist from energy. But look, energy is, it's hard to predict what's going to happen with Iran and all this other stuff. So that remains a wild card. I think the good news, though, if we really take a step back, look, I would say if the Fed – that's not our base case. We think the Fed is on hold for this year and ultimately we'll do some rate cuts next year. But let's just say inflation remains too high and they do decide to hike interest rates. I think it would be – we'd be looking at a couple of rate hikes, nothing really substantial. That could cause some volatility in equities, but I don't think it would end the bull market. I think I'd be much more concerned if we were looking at a string of rate hikes that really, as we were just talking about on the, how this relates to AI, if it started to really crimp access to capital and we saw therefore less demand for AI infrastructure, that would be a big negative. Don't think that's likely. But that is one of the things that we watch very closely.
We've been very U.S.-centric. If we step outside of the U.S., take a look at non-U.S. markets, what types of performance trends have you been picking up there, David? Any updates you can share with our listeners?
Yeah, we haven't really talked about non-U.S. markets, Dan, so I'm glad you brought that up. But we've been generally positive, not just in the U.S., but also outside the U.S., and we actually increased our positive view this month, where we upgraded Europe. And it's really, you know, sort of the same kind of similar story. We were getting the cyclical improvement. We talked about that manufacturing improvement here in the U.S. We're seeing something similar, really around the world. And Europe is a cyclical market. They have a lot of companies that are more leveraged to the global industrial cycle. On top of that, Europe is investing in defense. They do have some, especially on the industrial side, companies that are leveraged to the AI infrastructure build out. There's a lot of industrial companies that do sell equipment that goes into data centers and things like that. European companies, we've seen some cost discipline as well. And inflation is, you know, looking a little bit better there in Europe, kind of around the world. And the European Central Bank, is not likely to hike any further. So that's looking more interesting to us. We also upgraded India, similar story, just earnings improvement. And look, we've been positive on emerging markets, and we've been positive on global equities broadly. And it, like I said, it's really sort of a similar concept here. You have a cyclical improvement in the cyclical parts of the global economy, especially in manufacturing and things like that. And there's a big investment spending boom related to AI, but also related to other things that we just talked about, like defense and stuff like that. And that's really happening in various parts of the world.
You know, we've touched briefly on a couple of risk considerations, but just to recap, David, what's top of mind for you that could perhaps disrupt your performance expectations for U.S. equities?
The good news is we already covered most of them. So I think risk number one and two are we going to overbuild data centers, right? And I don't think we're there yet, but that is sort of risk number one. Related to that, I would say is, are we going to get a significantly more hawkish Fed, which could drive, you know, a reduction in demand or make it more difficult to raise capital. Don't think that's likely either. Yeah, but then look, obviously geopolitics, the Iran war, those are always things that, who knows. We do have an election coming up, right? So I'm sure we'll have lots more to say about that in the coming months. But I don't think that's a big risk. But I think the market is going to be watching to see how well some of the more left-leaning parts of the Democratic Party do in this election to get a read on what that means for 2028 and how that could eventually impact policy more in 2028 and beyond. But, you know, we don't think there's going to be major policy implications coming out of this upcoming election.
Okay, so a range of risk considerations to be mindful of. Thank you for that, David. Let's close out with positioning per the latest UBS House view. Remind our listeners about CIO's current positioning views when it comes to U.S. equities.
Yeah, so here there's been no change. I mean, we've been really emphasizing that we think investors should have broad exposure to the U.S., not just tech. And make sure you don't have overly concentrated positions because the opportunity set is getting bigger now, right? We talked about sort of the cyclical parts of the economy getting better. So we have, a mix of cyclical and secular sectors that we like. Just to highlight a few, I mean, on the cyclical side, industrials, financials, consumer discretionary, but also, you know, have some defense, right? I mean, healthcare, which has actually been doing really well, and utilities we like as well. And as we've been regularly highlighting here, we also think have exposure to these secular trends and these innovation drivers. And that's related, and we have specific stock lists related to AI, related to electrification, we call it power and resources, and related to health tech, we call it longevity, but I would say it's health innovation. because innovation drivers are what really generate shareholder value over time. And so we think it's important to have exposure there. But overall, I would say main message here, Dan, is that we think the bull market is intact. The growth is good. The central banks don't look like they're going to be a headwind. And we think the AI story still has room to go.
David, always a very helpful touch base. Thank you for dropping by Top of the Morning. Great to do this in person,
yeah,
by the way.
I love it.
And we'll do it again next month.
Awesome. Good seeing you, Dan. Thanks.
Likewise. Thank you, David. Again, today we've been speaking with David Lefkowitz, the head of equities for the Americas from the UBS Chief Investment Office. And this has been the CIO Equity Pulse, a monthly equities-based conversation with David, which ties right into the latest UBS House View publication suite from the UBS Chief Investment Office, which can now be located up on ubs.com/CIO. For clients of UBS, please reach out to your UBS financial advisor if you would like to receive a copy of the latest UBS House View Investment Strategy Guide directly. From UBS Studios, I'm Dan Cassidy. Thank you for joining us. Thank you for tuning in. Be sure to visit ubs.com/studios to view the entire UBS Studios suite of podcast channels, along with our video offerings, such as UBS Trending. You can also follow us on Instagram for content highlights at UBS Trending. UBS Studios is part of the UBS Chief Investment Office within UBS Global Wealth Management. Visit ubs.com/CIO to view the latest research.
UBS Chief Investment Office's investment views are prepared and published by the Global Wealth Management business of UBS AG or its affiliate, UBS. This material has no regard to the specific investment objectives, financial situation, or particular needs of any specific recipient and is published for informational purposes only. As a firm providing wealth management services to clients globally, UBS AG and its subsidiaries offer both investment advisory services and brokerage services. Investment advisory services and brokerage services are separate and distinct, differ in material ways, and are governed by different laws and separate arrangements. In the USA, UBS Financial Services, Inc. is a subsidiary of UBS AG and a member of FINRA SIPC. For information, please visit our website at ubs.com/workingwithus. For a full legal disclaimer applicable to the independent investment views produced by UBS, please visit our website at ubs.com/CIO-disclaimer.